For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 6:30, Logan Paulson's thoughts on Noah Brown and the wide receiver room for the Commanders. But it is 6 o'clock, actually. It's 6:05. Ooh, shoot, we better get going. It is time for a pick six. Is that you or is that me? Do you need me to play it today?
See, one time you played it. I used to play it.
Yeah, I played it yesterday because I sprung it on you and you didn't know that we were going to do it.
Okay, I mean, I can play it if you want me to.
Yeah, well, the question is, do you still need your computers? This is the kind of stuff that we should work out in commercial breaks, but we're a professional radio show that enjoys occasionally being incredibly transparent with the audience. Do you need to still have your computers to cut stuff, or can you play it? Like, I would rather play the bites and have you play the intro, but if that's not going to work because you need your computers to cut the bites, then I can play the intro.
So I can play the intro and you can play the bites.
Play the intro!
The 6 biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
Championship radio show. That's what we are over here. Don't let anybody tell you differently.
Number 1.
All right. Today on Grant and Danny, Adam Peters had a visit and answered a whole bunch of questions, including one about the cornerback position. This is an interesting spot on this roster. They went with just 5. They brought in a couple of guys on practice squad, including Bobby Price, Norfolk State kid, 6'3", so huge size. That's a bit of a developmental project for them. But I think one of the big questions, too, is, like, what do they see in Sanders still? Is he just playing the nickel? Is he playing outside? Like, who are the starters here? So, Peters, today with G&D on the cornerback position.
You know, internally, we feel a little bit better than maybe externally, and that's the case most of the time. We see these guys play day in and day out, and you go down the roster and in the depth chart, and all of these guys have gotten better. When you're talking about the secondary, really, Emmanuel Forbes has gotten significantly better, and that's a testament to how he's practiced, how he's worked, and how he's been coached. Jason Simmons is an excellent coach. Joe Witt, those guys have really gotten him to improve quite a bit, and he's done the work too. He's made a bunch of plays in the last few practices. So, you know, and then Mikey Sanders still has been awesome inside of the nickel, and he can play some outside too. And St. Juice is long, athletic, and has made a lot of plays on the ball this camp as well. So, you know, it remains to be seen how we do on the field, but very confident in all those guys and the coaching staff putting them in the right place to succeed.
I think the confidence in the Forbes answer is kind of a big deal. Because this was a team that I think was a group that was a little frustrated with him early on, It's like, dang, he really is not doing the stuff that we need to. Like, is he going to put on the weight? Is he working hard enough in the weight room? And something clicked at some point. Like, he got on board and off he went. And he played a lot better down the stretch of camp. And that, to me, sounds like a GM that's confident that not only that they have a competent guy at that position, but they could have someone good at that position. And that maybe he does really fit. And those ball skills that he showed in the SEC at Mississippi State can shine for Joe Witt Jr. And that is something that I think we need to point out. Joe Witt Jr., along with Dan Quinn and some of the other guys that they had in Dallas, got great production out of later draft picks and unheralded players. Last year, Deron Bland set an NFL record for pick sixes in a year where he wasn't even supposed to play. It wasn't until Trayvon Diggs, who they also got a lot more out of than people anticipated the year prior, got hurt. And that's when Bland got in there. So they understand how to coach that position. And they are working with a bunch of guys who previously, for the ones that were here, did not play for people who understood the position at the NFL level. It was one of the worst coached position groups I've ever seen covering the league. And so they have to count on some level on internal improvement. They're giving time for that to happen. And I bet you they also think that not only is Emmanuel Forbes better than he was when they got him, but he's going to get a lot better, that this growth trajectory will continue because he understands how to work now. He understands what they want, and it's just going to continue to grow. And so really cool stuff to hear from Adam Peters there for a guy who's normally pretty coy, kind of being showing some enthusiasm about, by the way, one of the two picks he kept from last year's draft for all the talk that they hate every one of Ron Rivera's draft picks, which is not true. They just liked other guys better.
Number two.
Brandon Coleman is a guy that they really need to play well this year. And Cornelius Lucas is a fine stopgap at left tackle, but realistically, he just doesn't move well enough to do the things that they want to do offensively to maximize their offense. And if they have to limit their offense because they can't get as on the edge on the left side as they want to, then okay, that's a reality they're going to have to live with if Coleman can't hold up. But number one, and even getting him out there before you make any kind of skill determination, is getting him healthy, getting him to the point that he can play. And he was back on the practice field in some capacity today. Here's Dan Quinn on the guy that he hopes will start at left tackle, his third-round pick, Brandon Coleman.
Yeah, I spent just a moment with him after practice because he, you know, was able to do quite a bit yesterday and then today padded to go. So he was good. I asked him if anything was guarded. He said, no, man, I'm good to go. He felt strong. He felt good. So I'm pleased that we're leaving the camp spot, you know, in good health. And that's the goal that you want as the coach and Adam and I, to say, you leave training camp, you know, with a healthy team. We were, you know, certainly disappointed that Jordan, you know, was injured, but he's going to be back, and no one else is into that space. So that's exciting, Nikki, because that's not the easiest thing to do. You're trying to be tough. You're trying to establish that. It's this razor thin line to make sure that the team's healthy, and you also have to put in work. You have to build some resilience, and so that's the fine line that you go with. And I'm just constantly looking at the team, where they're at. There was a few days I pushed a little more. A couple days I, you know, might have turned the dial back without them knowing. But they deserve this break, too, to reset, and we'll come out flying.
That is the hardest part of this time of year, is you got to do enough to be ready without doing too much that you put your guys at risk. And that is a really significant challenge. And sometimes, as a guy we'll talk about in a minute, you have a guy that comes in hurt and you're just trying to manage him and get him right. And that's an even more difficult balance of, like, how do I have this guy that's not up to the level of everyone else work in the right amount to get to that level while also being able to compete while that's happening? Meanwhile, sometimes you are doing everything right and a guy, it's football, like, stuff happens. And that's what happened with Brandon Coleman. The other guy I'm talking about,
number three,
is, of course, Johnny Newton, the second round pick for the Commanders, who also has been battling injury, but they are counting on to be ready for the regular season.
Johnny's doing good. That's okay. I like it. Today's kind of fun. The part for Johnny, he's the change of direction, the speed is good. I think you'll probably see him back into these practice reps coming up beginning into next week. And then we'll have a better estimation if he's ready to play, depending on how much practice he gets in. He's chomping at the bit, much like Coleman was. Coleman was just a little further along, different injury, obviously. But it's not far, and I'm excited to get him back into the mix. He's definitely wanting to do that. We're just not going to miss a step with him.
He's super important to what they want to do long term, is a rotational piece, and obviously is a potential replacement eventually for John Allen and Daron Payne, depending on how things go, contracts, et cetera, et cetera. But when they traded John Ridgeway, like, now you're at a point where you kind of need that dude. They did sign a couple of guys back to the practice squad who could buy you a week. I was actually, we were doing Take Command this morning, I mentioned a guy in Nwisi, who is the international pathway player that they kept on the practice squad. And Logan was like, I'm so glad you mentioned him. He was actually great in camp. And like, he flashed, and I didn't realize that he was on the practice squad. Like, I'm excited about that. And sometimes I catch Logan by surprise with information, and it's actually really fun because he gets really into it. And that was one of those where he was just super enthusiastic authentically about this guy that has a great story, obviously being a part of the pathway program, coming from overseas, but can really play and might be able to play for them right away. So if you need to buy a week for Newton, like, he's an option. They also signed 30-year-old Charles Watkins, I believe is the name, if I'm having that correct, who's a defensive end listed, or Carlos Watkins, that's who it is, listed as a defensive end, but he's 6'3", 305. Like, that's a dude that can play some three technique if you need to, based off that. And so he played for DQ in Dallas a couple years ago. Again, older player, 30 years old. So they've got a couple of options behind John, Daron, Big Phil, if Newton's not ready. But clearly, I think with the Ridgeway trade, like, they could have traded Ridge in week two, week three, potentially, if they wanted to, or maybe at the deadline. But they did it now because they're clearly counting on Newton to be available.
Number four.
All right, fourth up in our pick six as we get to the top stories of the day. This was in some ways the biggest story of yesterday, but everyone getting the chance to talk about it today. Noah Brown in the fold, officially signed this morning, practiced this afternoon. He's wearing number 85. He's big, he's tall, he's fast, he's strong. What else does he bring, Dan Quinn?
The first thing I think about with Noah, this is a dog-ass competitor. Like, he is a really physical player. You know, he's got a great background, both as a receiver on teams. He's a fantastic teammate. And so when we had the ability to add him to this group, it was a very easy decision from the coaching side. And, you know, Adam had, you know, certainly scouted him and knew him. And so he brings a lot to our team, so I'm excited for everybody to get to know him and be around him. He and Terry were actually part of the same recruiting class at Ohio State. I knew they had played together, but I didn't know they had come in together. No surprise that these are two really class act professionals that they would have been hanging around years back.
Not a surprise at all, and that's great. I think it's really important. Not essential, not like you can get around it or you can't get around it, but it's really important, or it can be really helpful. That's probably a better phrasing. It'd be really helpful to have a familiar face when you come in now, where, like, you have someone who you don't have to build the relationship and learn the playbook. He can go to Terry's house, I'm sure, at this point, with the contracts Terry signs, and as long as he's been here, Terry's got a very, very nice house. And they can sit there and watch film and learn the playbook. And, you know, it's not like you're texting a stranger to be like, hey, I got a question here. So that's great. Oh, and by the way, the quarterback is very excited to also help out. Apparently, he told Jaden Daniels today, Dan Quinn said that, like, he asked if he could go help. And like, am I allowed to take extra reps to go work with Noah Brown? Here's Jaden talking about developing that new relationship after practice today.
I mean, he's new. I had a whole training camp with the other guys, and you know, he just came, so just talking through stuff and trying to get up to speed as quickly as possible.
Simple enough on that. I love that Jaden thinks that that is his responsibility, because often those things fall at the feet of, like, a Sam Hartman, where it's like, okay, I'm the fourth quarterback. This guy wants to run extra routes. I'll go be the arm. Jaden is like, this dude's going to play. I need to have a rapport with him. He needs to be on top of it. He needs to know not just what it is in the playbook, but how I want it done. Let's get it done. The fact that he sees that as a responsibility speaks extraordinarily well to Jaden Daniels and will certainly help Noah Brown.
Number five.
All right. The other guy that spoke today that we haven't heard from is Lance Newmark, who is the assistant general manager. Of course, we heard from Peters yesterday, Newmark today. And Lance spoke about some of the work that's gone on to building this roster, the work that's gone into building this roster, starting back in March when he and Adam really got started at the start of the league year.
Well, it's been a very active 5 or 6 months, whatever it's been. Every day we've come in here with the attitude of trying to get this better, to make this team as competitive as it can be right away, while also trying to build a team that's going to be competitive for the long haul. So every day we just try to find ways to get better, try to find ways to improve our roster, improve our process, whether it's free agency, whether it's the draft, whether it's workouts, whether it's going back on guys that have been hurt. We try to look under every rock and find every opportunity to improve, and we're trying to do that as fast as we can.
One thing that's caught my ear from Newmark in another answer that he gave today and Peters yesterday is they both let slip whether they're trying to be overprotective or just let it out or what happened. The point is, they both said out loud into microphones at press conferences, yeah, we did a little bit more than we thought we'd be able to. Like, they surpassed their expectations of what they thought they could accomplish in year one. I don't know what that means in wins on the field, but it certainly is something that caught my ear, and I'm hoping quickly they're proven correct, because I would like to watch a good football team this year, as all of you would. And, maybe they thought, oh, man, we got a 4-win team. We're going to have to gut this roster. Like, damn. And then they realized how much they were going to have to gut the roster, and they're like, there's no way we can refill it with quality. There's too many holes. And we're going to maybe be a 5 or 6-win team just because that's... we're in year one and we got to turn it all over and we're gonna have a rookie quarterback. And it seems like they now think that they can be a lot more competitive this year. We'll see, because there still seems to me to be, it's not even a talent dearth, they just don't have a lot of high-end talent. They don't have a lot of blue chippers on the roster, which makes it really hard to win football games. You have to be really, really perfect in a lot of areas, as opposed to letting talent just make a play and overcome something else. But maybe they're set up to be just a really solid, excellent football team. Last but not least,
number six.
This was something that was interesting. Dan Quinn talking about how they're going to do captains in 2024.
We'll be using game captains. And I'll also utilize a group of some leaders that will be kind of with me on some decisions that or emphasis that I want to make with the team. But we'll pick game captains until the postseason, and then we'll pick postseason captains that'll be throughout.
So when you say game captains, each game a different guy will wear the C on his chest?
They won't wear it, but they'll be a captain.
No C's on the chest. That's pretty fascinating. And, obviously Terry's had the C on his chest for a while. I'd imagine he's in that group of leaders. John Allen had that C for a while. But it's just another kind of thing to compete for, right? Like, whether you're earning that captaincy by how you practice, whether it's something as a chance to connect, because, hey, we're playing, you're playing the Colts a couple years ago. Hey, it's Terry's hometown team. You're playing whoever. You're playing the Seahawks. It's like, hey, Bobby's going to be our captain this week because of his history there. Like, it's a chance to tell stories about some of these players and doing the game captain's thing, or a chance to highlight a guy who's doing the right stuff week in, week out. So that's actually really cool, and I kind of dig it. Leadership isn't about having a C on your chest that got sewn on by the equipment staff. Leadership is about what you do, and it's very clear, I think, within that locker room, to the coaches and to the other players, who the leaders are. And I'd imagine Dan will consult those players, and there won't be a whole lot of griping about who and is and isn't in that group. And imagine a guy like Mariota, Eckler, Ertz, like those guys, Wagner, are all going to be in there. And then maybe some younger guys. Maybe Jaden is in that group. Maybe Frankie Louvu is kind of, one of the stars, hopefully, for this team is in that group and the intensity he brings. So I'm not exactly sure, obviously. I just heard that as you did, and there wasn't any more that I've heard that you didn't on that. But I think it could be a really cool opportunity for Dan to do some of the stuff that he feels is really important, which is highlight competition and highlight the connection that they want to make as a team, as opposed to just saying, Terry and John, C. Marcus, C. Jaden, congrats, rookie quarterback, C. Good way to do it, if you ask me. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we give you the biggest Commander storylines on the day and the best sound every single day at 6 p.m. We call it our Pick 6. When we get back, more on Noah Brown and what his addition means to the Commander's receiver room and why he is such a good fit here in D.C.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And coming up in, well, about 15 minutes, if you bought a Tressway 5 jersey and you're like, dang, 5 is now Jaden Daniels. That's cool, but what do I do with my jersey? Do I keep it? Maybe I want to get the new one. Tress has announced that he has officially switched to 10. The 10 is going to stick. And you got to hear what he's doing for he and Jaden actually both are combining to do for folks who want to exchange their jerseys. That's going to be part of Real Things Real People Said in Real Microphones coming up at 6:50 today. But right now, some thoughts from one of their new teammates. In fact, their newest teammate. You got Noah Brown in town to round out the Commander's wide receiver room. And this morning on Take Command, Logan and I talked about how that room came together. Anthony, do you have it over there? You're ready to hit play. You were so your body language is so casual right now. I didn't know if you weren't like, I'm ready. So I started panicking like I was going to have to hit the button. Anyway, here's Logan and I being smarter than what I just was.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter.
That's not the right one, Anthony. I should have just hit the button. Here's Logan and I being more intelligent than the last 45 seconds of this professional radio show. The moment that everyone's been waiting for, Logan. Let's talk about the wide receiver room. And everyone's psyched about this because they make a move after they name the 53. And that is to sign Noah Brown. Of course, the 6 that ultimately make it are Terry McLaurin, De'Ami Brown, Luke McCaffrey, Alameda Zaccheaus, Jameson Crowder, and Byron Pringle, which we kind of thought would be the case. That was actually the prediction that we made on the radio show, was those 6 with Pringle being the guy that just kind of stood out, having done enough and the veteran savvy and the kick returner and the whole deal. They also keep Mitchell Tinsley and Bryson Tremaine on practice squad, which is interesting. Two of the guys that are from last year's crop, or Tinsley's case 2 years ago, but guys that have been here that, you know, Tinsley had a really nice game the other night. We've talked about Tremaine quite a bit, but I'm kind of surprised that like there's no Rosemy Jackson and some of the other young guys who played pretty well. And there's just a level of evenness amongst that group. I thought they might lean towards some of the guys they bring in. And then, of course, Noah Brown. Let's talk about Brown separately in a second because I have a specific question for you on him. Yeah. But the 6 that they keep, how does that set up to support Jaden Daniels in year one?
Yeah, I mean, I really like, I think the moving of Jahan showed a vision for the room that they want tough, competitive, smart dudes. And I understand that that's kind of the roster theme, but every, go down the list, man, Terry, tough, competitive, smart. OZ, tough, competitive, smart. Luke, you know, every single one of those dudes is not afraid to play to block. They play with tremendous urgency. They are where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there in route concepts. So to me, it's a very solid group. I know fans are probably like, oh, there's no true two. We need to get more talented. And I'm not disputing that. But I do think that, like, when you look at this group, like, they will definitely play better than the sum of their parts on paper. Like, they are just football players. Like, they, again, there's a consistency and a toughness to that group that you very rarely see in receiver rooms. And I love that. Cause again, part of it is like from 2010 to 2012 when Kai was here, like I played with Josh Morgan. I played with Pierre Garçon, like dudes who would absolutely kill you if they had the opportunity in the run game and the pass game. Like they were absolute savages. So I really appreciate that type of play stylistically, because there's going to be three of those dudes on the field at one time, probably. They're going to be 11 personnel. And talk about having a cultural identity for your team. You need receivers that are going to be like, the DBs are like, man, I wish I wasn't playing in this game right now. And that's, I think that's what this group gives you. And I also love that they kept the two guys on the back end of the roster and practice squad. Bryson Tremaine plays exactly that way. Mitchell Tinsley plays exactly that way. And so it's 7-8 guys that is what they do. And I think, again, I understand there's a lack of talent, but I look at the tight end room with Zach Ertz, and we've talked about this before. Like, he's going to get a huge share of targets. So to me, it's Terry, Zach, and then you kind of intermingle like your De'Ami Brown, your OZ, your Luke McCaffrey in the situation that best suits them. And I think you're going to have a pretty solid group here.
Yeah, I thought Adam was really sharp in pointing out yesterday that you don't really improve your team in August. Like you improve your team in March and April. Yeah. And they entered March and April with the idea that Jahan Dotson was going to regain form as a former number one, or first round draft pick. And it didn't work out. And there's only so much, you know, backup planning you can do for that kind of stuff. And so they ultimately made the decision to move on from Jahan based off of what they saw, which is a totally valid decision based off what we saw. And there's just not a lot you can do at that point to try to get a number two receiver in, because those guys aren't available because they're on teams. That said, Noah Brown might come in and as soon as he can learn the offense and everything, elevate to that different body type, different caliber of player than perhaps the production certainly of these other guys. A guy that's had over 500 yards in the last two seasons in Dallas, and then last year in Houston, averaged 17.2 a catch, 6'2", it's like 220, can run. Different kind of player. And Logan, the question I wanted to ask you more specifically is, what kind of challenge does he face to come in at this point of the year? We've talked about this before. When you left Washington, you went to Chicago and it was like time to play, because you got cut at the end of camp that year when your time in Burgundy and Gold came to an end and had to learn an offense just in the same way that Noah Brown's going to have to learn this one. What kind of challenge does he face? And then ultimately, once he overcomes that challenge, what does he bring to the team?
Yeah, I think the one thing about the Cliff Kingsbury offense, at least so far, it seems like the guys pick it up really quick. You know, I don't know if there's like not a lot of volume in, or the way he coaches it, or the verbiage makes it easier, but it does seem like, I would imagine, he'd have a relatively easy time picking it up, especially with guys who have been here. They can help bring him along, and I think they're going to be pretty invested in bringing him along. So I don't think it'll be too challenging. Maybe the quickest to be ready week one. It's nice to have 2 weeks, kind of this pseudo bye week here with no game this weekend. It gives you more time to figure it out and learn it. So I do think he'll be fine. But, you know, if it's not this week, it's the following week. And in terms of role, like he's a really interesting guy. I went back and watched his last five games from last season, and obviously he didn't play in the last game of the last year because he was hurt. So that's another thing. He's kind of negotiating injury, yep, back and shoulder and all this kind of stuff. But one thing that jumped out to me right away is he plays the way that this receiver room is going to be expected to play. Like, he's very, very physical. He's very urgent in the run game. Love to see that. He's got some suddenness as a route runner. He's got some good vertical speed. He reminds me of like a little bit more polished at the top of your route, De'Ami Brown kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's tall, he runs fast. He's not the most, consistent at the catch point, which was a little surprising given his body size. Like, he had a couple drops, you know, everybody's got drops, but just not super consistent at the catch point. So I think there's going to be some developmental stuff there. But can he help your team? Absolutely. He's a good football player. Absolutely. And I think when you compare him to a guy like Bryson Tremaine, I think the athlete is better. The vertical speed, the suddenness is better. And so that's why you probably make that move, is like, he's got the size, but he also moves a little bit better for a guy that size. And like you said, he's been very productive. And you watch, I think it was a Cincinnati game last year. I mean, he had like 140 yards receiving or something like that. And again, those are schemed up touches. It's not like he's winning one-on-ones consistently, but you need guys like that in your offense. So to me, you know, maybe Terry's the one. And then again, he kind of falls into, you know, maybe Diami's the vertical guy. Maybe he's the comeback guy. Maybe, you know, whatever. And I think you just kind of find a role for him. And I think he's a little bit more nuanced as a route runner, which is nice. It's a skill set that fits the room. It's a personality that seems to fit the room based on play style. So I think it's a nice addition. I just don't, if you're a fan, don't get crazy and carried away to say this is the number two guy. I think he's got a, you know, I think he kind of falls in line with the rest of the guys, like with the OZs. And, you know, OZ had a 600-yard receiving 2 years ago in Philly. Like, that's what he reminds me of, a guy that in the right situation can be very productive for your offense.
Yeah, I think the goal long-term is that he probably becomes the two, but that could be a more long-term thing. Like, he's not going to step in week one and be the two for a number of reasons, including that shoulder, which he hasn't played in the preseason. Like, part of the reason he's available is because he was hurt and banged up and couldn't get on the field and prove that he belonged closer to the top of that Texans receiving room, which they obviously revamped in the offseason. So, certainly, I think we're all hoping he can be on the field sooner rather than later. But it could be a couple weeks until he's really playing with a higher snap count. And then we'll see how he fits with Jaden not having the offseason, although Jaden seems to get along pretty quickly with pretty much everybody. But how that ultimately goes. Final few here on the Hoffman Show as we wrap things up on the Team 980. And, of course, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Fresh episode of Take Command in your feed if you'd like to get more football in after we are done yapping. Tomorrow on the show, Nate Tice, who, Anthony, I didn't know this when I booked Nate. He didn't tell me. He didn't tip me off. This is just good fortune for us. I wonder if this is why he asked for Friday, though. Nate, in the offseason, switched from The Athletic to Yahoo and is a great content creator there. But he also just got announced today as a new contributor at the NFL Network.
Oh, so now you're making some moves then.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Nate's going to be on the show tomorrow. Okay. Who else is on the show tomorrow? We already have another guest. We have two. Oh, standing. We'll see if Yates is on the show. Labor Day weekend might mess him up. But he promised he'd be back on the regular next week. He visited me in my home last week. So, you know, that's good for two credits, if you will. Of course, tonight, North Dakota State, Colorado. So college football season getting underway. But Standig did his annual agent survey, which is always awesome. And he's going to join us tomorrow at 5:00 for Not My Beat. So pretty pumped for that. Nate tomorrow on the show as well. We got some other cool stuff planned on a Friday, as always. The breaking news that just came through moments ago.
Breaking news. Oh, sad news is broken. Breaking news.
Brandon Ayuk staying in San Francisco. Anthony, are you emotional over this?
So, Craig, typically at the end of the show, you ask me what was my favorite part of the show. I can absolutely tell you what was my least favorite part of the show.
When you found out that Brandon Ayuk resigned.
Yes.
Did you have real hope that he was coming here?
All right, it might not have been real hope, but
you had fake hope.
Yes. Yes. There were until he signed the dotted line, there was still a chance, even if it was the slimmest chance, a 0.0001% chance, it's still a chance, Greg. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Well, exactly. So that's my point. That's my least favorite part of the show, just because when I found out that he actually wasn't coming here, that really did hurt.
I mean, it wasn't his. Who hurt you? The answer is no one.
No one technically hurt me, man.
No one hurt you. He was under contract there. He was never coming. If they wanted him here, he would have been here by now. Adam Peters knows exactly who he is and would have made it happen. But they decided they would rather invest draft capital in players that they take in the draft with young rookie contracts and control and the whole deal versus sending at least second, if not first round pick, And apparently, like, apparently San Francisco wanted, like, a first and Terry. Like, get the hell out of here. Ayuk's great. He ain't that good.
Yeah, they're asking.
And the and they would have had to pay him $30 million a year here.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. By the way, no, 4 years, 128. No, 4 years, 120. 4 years, 120 is the numbers that Schefter ultimately reported. So Ayuk gets paid. It's not JJ money, which it shouldn't be. It's not CeeDee Lamb money, which it shouldn't be. It's good money. I mean, it's great money by any human standard, but
man,
it's
what?
excellent wide receiver money. He gets right on $30 million a year. The devil will be in the details. I'm curious how much the guarantees are. Like, good for Ayuk, good for the Niners. They better get Trent in there and then go win a Super Bowl. Like, you're good enough if you're San Francisco. I just hope that them messing... Players typically get relatively close to what they want anyway. I hate when it takes this long, and it's just like, why? If you're going to pay him $30 million, why didn't you do it 3 months ago? I don't understand how that works.
Do you think it's because it's incentive-laden? You got to do all of this, and
no.
He probably... okay.
Like, I bet you it's like $80 million guaranteed or something. Do we have that number yet?
It's $76 guaranteed.
There you go. So he gets $30 million a year in the first 2 years, and then that third year is mostly guaranteed. The fourth year is going to be completely not guaranteed. He'll still have a decent cap hit because they're going to pay him, you know, whatever 76 divided by 4 is. You prorate the signing bonus. That's how the cap works. That's not the signing bonus. So whatever the signing bonus is, they'll prorate that. So I don't know what the bonus, the guaranteed at signing number is. But the signing bonus, not the number guaranteed at signing. But point is, like, they'll make the math work. Maybe there was some fuddling over the math. But clearly, I think it was important to Ayuk to hit $30 million AAV. Like, they want that message that I'm a $30 million receiver. And they got it.
That's tough.
So good for them. We don't have time for real things, do we?
Now we do.
We do?
I don't know what's... So it's not BetQ...
we have Terps Talk tonight.
Oh, that's what it is. We have Terps Talk.
Yeah, Locks is back. Sweet. We have time for real things. What do you know?
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
We'll see if we take it all the way, Anthony. We might not. Yeah, I would have at least a little buffer in there. Just, you know, radio producer talk there.
Yes, sir.
So Tressway today finalized that he is wearing number 10. It will be number 10 for him this season. Of course, he gave the number 5 to Jaden Daniels when he got drafted number 2 overall out of LSU. With a couple of things. There's an LSU-Oklahoma game. I think there's a private flight involved that Jaden's going to pay for. But they also want to do something for fans because a lot of folks, a surprisingly high number of folks, have Tressway jerseys. I don't say surprisingly because Tress is a punter. But Tress has been an awesome punter and he's an even better dude. And so a lot of people were like, I'm getting a Tressway jersey and I don't blame you. He's been the most consistent, excellent player on this team for a decade. So, what do you do if you have a 5 Tressway jersey? Honestly, I would just keep it and wear it. I think it becomes even cooler because it's like, oh, cool, you got the quarterback, I got the punter. What's up? But if you want a 10 Tressway jersey, good news courtesy of Tressway.
A special announcement that you and Jaden have been working on.
Yes.
Want to share that with us?
Yeah. So part of the jersey exchange was that he had decided part of the deal was whenever I'd announce my new number, he was going to partner with Fanatics and we were going to do a giveaway for a lot of the fans that already have Tressway 5 jerseys. Yeah. All the Tressway 5 jerseys that are out there, we are doing a mass just come at it with the email. We created an email. It's tressway jersey@gmail.com. Didn't ever think I'd do an email like that, but tressway jersey@gmail.com. The first 100 people that submit a picture of them holding a Tressway 5 jersey, but you got to do the way side. You got to show way, because otherwise there's a lot of Daniels 5 jerseys out there, but show Tressway 5, and the first 100 people that submit it to the email, we're going to go through and we're going to try and mail out those Tressway 10 jerseys. Mm. 10 is official, and we're going to mail them out as soon as we can.
There you go. TressWayJersey@gmail.com. For the people, Anthony. They did it for the people. You love to see it.
Now, that's super dope. Were you one of those kids that had a jersey that, you know, put tape over your jersey and...
No.
Okay. I was just curious.
As a kid, I had a Julius Peppers jersey. That was a good one. I had a Steve Smith jersey. That was a good one. You want what else is for the people, Anthony? This show. And we're going to do it again tomorrow. See you then.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.